Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It was in the book of Numbers that a difficult reality and recognition came to the children of Israel. God was now leading them through their wilderness wandering. They had exited Egypt. They had witnessed the power of God at work in both the place they were delivered from and the place that they were now in. And it was through their own choices and the holy dictates of God that they began to understand this chasm that existed between themselves and their God. They looked at Moses and said these words, if you would. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? They sensed, they knew that there was this distance, this separation that was between them and their sovereign God. They understood that they could only come so close. There could be a view of where and who he was, but their proximity with him was at best limited. The sin of who they were could not live in the holiness of who he was. It would be further reinforced by the coverings of a tabernacle through time and laws and procedures that were to be followed to the letter. A veil would hang as a constant reminder that not just anyone could approach the mercy seat, that place where God would ultimately be there for them. For generations, that was the view that many had of God, distant and far off, unapproachable, a God of wrath, waiting, if you would, for failures, always a bit disappointed with lives lived. That was the view of many. The truth is, that is how many still view him this day, a God that is ready and waiting to pour out his wrath and watching and waiting for us to fail. Many feel like that they can never measure up, if you would, that he's always disappointed with the way they are, always somewhat distant from us. But the truth is, hear me today, the truth is he is nothing like that at all. If he were, there would have never been a manger that held the hope of the Savior of the world. Look at how the prophet Isaiah described him, Jesus, God robed in the flesh. Look at this, if you would, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is he dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. There was no comeliness. Look at this and understand this and just walk through it with me for a moment. There was no comeliness or splendor about him. There was no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief or sickness, in other words. We esteemed him not, stricken, smitten of God, wounded, bruised, chastised, beaten, oppressed. Those were the descriptive terms given of the Savior. Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, was not some abstract God, if you would, that could not be approached or too good for him to be near us. But if we will look close enough at him, we will find that he became just like us so that we could become more like him. No splendor about us. No beauty, despised. We've all felt rejection, grief and sickness in our life and our body. It's something that we all can identify with, every one of us. It's the common denominator of flesh, fallen man, who we are, wounded, bruised, chastised, beaten. Look at him. Look at him for a moment in those words that the prophet said he would be. And no doubt when you look there, we will all find ourselves. Somewhere in that description, we will find our life in the way that we have felt or possibly feeling right now. Because that is who he is for us. Not that God that is distant from us, waiting for us to be lost, but he is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel, God with us, wanting to save us. Isaiah said that he was despised. Understand this, he was despised and rejected. It is not that God is rejecting man, but rather it is often that man is rejecting God. He was rejected of men, despised. In our sin and in our choices, we turn from him, if you would. When the message of the manger was really about each of us turning to him instead of away from him. But often we reject God and we turn from him. But the message of the manger is about you and I turning to face him, to come to him, to know him and he us. God has always wanted to be near us. With us. He became man that he might know us. It would seem this year, at least in my mind, it would seem that this year, as much as any before, that there are many who have felt or who are at this particular moment right now feeling alone, and no doubt that could be you. Present and previous circumstances have isolated and prevented so many from being together as the norm has been. And because of all of this, The feeling of being alone, isolated, abandoned has been magnified because, and understand this with me for a moment here, and I hope to somehow help us to have a clearer view of this, because of that feeling alone, because of that feeling of isolation or abandonment, it's a tactic of the enemy, the devil, to go against and be the opposite of the very nature of God that he is. Because God is present. So because God is present, God is with us, the devil wants to make you feel like that you are alone today, that you are forgotten, that your life doesn't matter. But remember, someone hear me right now, the devil is a liar. As a matter of fact, he is the father of lies. The truth is today, you are not alone. You are not forgotten. God is with you, and your life, in fact, does matter to God and to others. Look at this in Psalms, if you would, please. Psalms 34:8. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It is often in the broken, alone places of our life that we are most near to God and able to sense his saving grace. In those alone moments, when all the facades and coverings of life are stripped away, when all the things that we thought that we could depend upon and suddenly we realize they're no longer there. In those moments when it is then and there that we find him to be, in fact, Emmanuel. We find him to be God with us, present and perfect and touched by the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our inadequacies, our broken areas, the areas of our life where we don't know what to do and we don't know what to think and we don't see the end result and we feel confused and it feels like it's caving in on us. It's at that moment in those broken places that God is most nigh to us and we sense his grace more greatly. The one that we can come boldly to. In other words, that we can get close to know that he knows what we are going through and, in fact, how we feel. That no matter what, he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. I know we've heard it 1,000 times, but it's still the truth that you can trust in today. God will never leave you. Please, somebody hear me right now. It feels like you're isolated and alone. God will never leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's not going to turn his back on you because you fail or somewhere along the way you stumble and you make a mistake and you find yourself distant and cold. He loves you and wants to be near you. That was the message held in the manger. Jesus wanted us to know that he is in this mess and chaos that life sometimes can be. He's right here. He's right here with us. That as dirty and as difficult as it may be, still, nonetheless, joy can be found right there. Right there in that place where he came near to us, in the place where it seemed out of place, but yet it was very much so in place for you and I. There, in all that's difficult, in all that seems dirty in our life, in all that seems broken, joy can be found there. Because we're not alone. He is now near us. He is the God that is with us, near us. He is the God that is with us, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Savior of you and God. Pray with me. Father, I love you, and I thank you so much. God, that you have robed yourself in flesh and that you are still present with us, and that, God, we can put our trust in you and know that we are never alone and that you are near. You came near to us.